You're listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode 75, Computers, Computers Everywhere. I got something that was decidedly not rumor.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Record the time. Because that's what I do. We need a producer or something like that. We're hiring. Pay is not great, but we're hiring. Announcing it right now.
We give a percentage of all profits. That's how we pay.
No, I'm not going to go that far. But you get your name in the credits.
That's true.
We'll maybe even start doing credits, because that will be your job.
Yeah. since we'll have somebody to do that, we can afford it.
Exactly. Oh, I love having a phantom organization. When I total side story. Did I tell you about this? I had to have told you about this.
Probably.
When we were doing Bob the Autographer stuff, I actually created a job section because I didn't want to actually make sales, so I did all the fun stuff around it.
Yeah.
But I remember that. Yeah, I made a career page and these are all the different people we can hire, and we'll call them interns, so we don't have to pay them. It will be fantastic. You get experience. Put it on your resume.
Have we ever told anybody about Bob the Autographer on this show? In case you're a new listener, James and I ran and operated a t-shirt design company where we designed and sold t-shirts. And then I was the president. And we flipped
Which
a coin.
I think you got that because of the coin toss, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we were sitting in the bank and we needed a president, and so we flipped a coin, and yes, I won.
Decided.
I think we switched off at the next board of directors meeting.
Yeah.
And then
assisted at our parents' table with my mom taking notes.
I've got a far way now that I do this show in their closet.
we have good investors. That's exactly. Really believe in what we're doing.
Family business, man. That's what we're about.
So I'll just keep changing it. If you've ever read the book The Millionaire Next Door, which is a fantastic book, I highly recommend it. They actually do talk about, you're not going to like this, but they talk about how there's this whole generation where the parents had the struggle, had to figure out how to make it on their own, and they did and were successful. And so then they wanted their kids to be successful. And so as a result, they would give them the time and the energy to develop whatever it was that they were doing, whether it was a business or some talent or skill. And they'd be like, yeah, we don't want you to worry about the expenses, so we'll pay for everything. And then this book, I read this book 10 years ago, and it was already an older book, it's just gotten worse over time, which is interesting. And they'll say they'll have these kids who have this entitlement, and they'll be literally 30 years old in their parents' basement, figuring it out. They're eventually going to go out on their own and they're going to make it. And the parents will be like, oh yeah, Johnny's down in the basement. He's working on his project. And eventually he's going to be successful and we're going to make it. And we just want to support him so that, he can go big time. And this guy's research was basically actually the best thing to do is to kick your kid out of the nest and have him figure out how to make it on his own. Yeah, I know it hurts in the short term, but you're actually hurting him or her because they don't learn how to do that struggle like you did. So these parents think that they're helping their children, but they're actually not. It's a fascinating read. So this
is basically a 3-minute commentary on my life right now.
What I was going to say is, ways, man, you were like, oh, yeah, my parents are helping with this business, and now I'm hanging out in the closet doing this, and how much money have we made off of this one?
The thing is that I recognize that.
This isn't an interesting book, actually.
It drives me crazy. I've often described it as our parents are frustratingly flexible. They're frustratingly great to live with because they completely stay out of my way. If I need them to, if I need help, they're willing to help. But it's I pretty much only sleep here, but it's.
I'll have my recommendation was to kick you out right after you graduated, and they didn't listen to me.
So. Well, that was probably... I appreciate that, since I actually would have probably starved and died if they had done that right after I graduated, as it was the worst economic situation since the Great Depression.
The thing that the book doesn't actually bring up, which I think is such a huge factor now, we're totally off topic, is that you have the student loan thing hanging over you.
Yeah.
Right? And so... I don't want to say, and even if you were to like declare bankruptcy, doesn't get rid of the student loans. So it's a different situation. I just want to, it's a very hard and tricky one, and I count my blessings that I don't have to deal with it. And,
I'm in a particularly tough spot because I think, you know, this is just a, yeah, like we said, this is a bigger commentary on this like whole social stuff. But it's like for me, what I really feel like for the first 2 years after I graduated, I didn't have a choice. I was going to have to live with somebody. And if my parents were willing to do it, I was going to have to go to an aunt or uncle who was willing to do it or live on the street. I mean, like I was in a tough spot. I never stopped working. I never wasn't working. I just never had the money or I would have moved to North Carolina. And that's the biggest thing is I never had to move, and that's actually what they really facilitated was my ability to stay in the area I wanted to stay in because the jobs that I eventually wanted to have were here. So they allowed me to get the job that I have now, which is a great job and the job that's, you know, taking me off. But like now it's I've been like fully salaried for like 4 months, and and this is what's crazy. Our parents are like, no, stay here as long as you need to get yourself under your feet. And I'm like, I'm so ready to go. I can't stand it. I just can't find a place because everything's so expensive, and all my roommates want it to cost less, bigger houses, and it's just I don't know. So,
which is and you chose to hang around for that situation.
I know. Can we talk about something that's less, you know, like irritating to me?
All right. This is. Yeah, we can.
HP. Two. Slate so, 7.
Yes.
Tell me
so
about
HP,
it.
So HP had a little mini announcement at the Mobile World Congress last week. Which, as a friendly reminder, I do not represent HP or any of HP's opinions during this little time we have together.
Good, neither do I.
And so I can say that I was really bummed that I didn't get to go.
Yes.
Because I am actually doing some mobility stuff now, like, can I say on the side? It's not my real job. And so I was like, oh, I should go, so I should get an idea of what's going on. No, they let like, this other team go, and I just... stayed behind and worked, which
it's awful,
ran,
man.
Ran, worst ran, case. Get it? You called my boondoggle bluff. That's cool. So, what they released, and actually, a lot of people said like this was the darling of the show, if you will, was the HP Slate 7, because they have another slate which it might just be called the Slate. I don't remember, but it was running like Windows 7 on it or something or whatever. So it's a care to guess how big it is?
7 inches.
It's a 7-inch. Yes, it's a 7-inch display, the 124x600 screen. It's got the A9 processor, gigabyte of RAM, other stuff we don't care about. So it is an Android tablet.
Oh, baby.
With an HP logo on the back.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. And so here's what's interesting about it. The one thing we do care about is its price. It is going to be $169.
That is affordable.
That was what they said. They're creating it's a budget-friendly, lower-end device that is, quote, priced to sell.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a good price point. That's significantly cheaper than, you know, the Android 7. They're in the Nexus 7.
I don't know about it significantly, because isn't there a low-end like $199, something like that?
Yeah, it's $40, $30.
I guess percentage-wise, it actually is kind of a lot, huh?
Right.
Okay, all right, I'll take it back. So it is significantly cheaper. And, you know, HP's whole hope here is that we can take advantage of its supply chain.
Yeah.
Competencies and advantages and stuff like that because we actually sell stuff. And so they're coming out with it. I watch the hands-on and they're like, so it's a tablet. So if you have ever seen, here's what you do. Watch some of the Nexus 7 videos. Just pay attention to the screen part, and that's what it is. It's an Android tablet, right? I mean, it's
right.
And actually, what was kind of frustrating, but what people noticed is that they're like, yeah, there's really nothing distinct about this, other than it's made by HP, which used to represent good quality hardware. That's up to debate. I think it's still better than those Dell guys, but I'm biased. Look, I may not represent them, but I'm clearly biased. Okay,
so. Well, and what I would say is this. I mean, if it is the same quality and capability as the Nexus 7, but $40, $30 cheaper, that is a great feature in and of itself. The real question is, and this is the difficult part, is if it's just a vanilla stock Android, which would be great, so it's very competitive in what it does
with
the Nexus 7. And would you? And you said it's 1 gig of RAM. See, that's the biggest problem, is it's only got 1 gig of RAM. You know, if it had like 2 gigs of RAM.
Well, so it's got 16 gigabytes of storage. I just making sure we're on the same page.
I said 1 gig of RAM.
I know that's what you said. I just want to make sure that's what you meant.
Yes. I'm talking, you know, if you had more, you know, and maybe 1 gig is, I don't know.
Well, their whole thing is they're not, he, in another article, the guy, Alberto Torres, it's probably not how that's done. he's the, I'm laughing at myself. He's the head of HP's mobility group. He said that HP is targeting the consumer who really wants an entertainment solution. He admits that the tablet won't be competitive with something that's $300 today.
So, you mean the iPad?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that's what he's saying, right? Which is probably true. If you want an iPad, you're going to get an iPad, and you're going to spend that amount of money, and there's nothing HP could do. So even spec-wise, if it were exactly the same spec-wise, you still wouldn't get it. And so they went, well, we're going to go after this low-end space because they still see a place there. Now, what they did say is that this is the first of many, to quote a game from, to quote a line from Worms, Armageddon, where they're going to come out with the whole spectrum. You know, HP totally believes in the idea of, you know, there are different customers and they have different needs and different uses, and they will make a product to fit every single one of those, which is like decidedly the exact opposite of Apple. And, you know, it kind of goes the way that Android does, right? With this like, oh, we'll flood the market with devices and you pick the one that you want. Who cares if it's confusing and you don't know? You'll know because you'll just find the one you want. So so that's what HP is going to do. So this is just their first one. Of course, I did think it was kind of funny. Which one was it? Pando Daily was kind of making fun of them, because they still need to figure out a way to differentiate themselves from the rest of the pack. I don't think it's good enough to say Android tablet by HP.
Honestly, though, okay, this is my reaction.
Yeah, let me hear it.
And now I recognize I'm different, but I just looked up the specs on the Nexus 7, and the Nexus 7 is the exact same thing. 1 gig of RAM, 16 gigs. The only difference is it's got the Tegra. The Nexus 7 has the Tegra quad-core processor, whatever, dual-core processor, whereas this one's just got the A9 dual-core processor. I don't really know the difference. I'd have to look. But I have a feeling that if you pick up both devices, they feel, when you're actually using them, they feel very, very similar to each other.
Probably.
And one costs $30 less. Like, if it's the same device and one's $30 less, why the heck would I get the more expensive one? I get it. It's branded by, it's made by Google, but it's the same, you know. And honestly, like, this is my thought.
HP more than Google.
Yeah, you've got the, you know, the one thing that Google is, the thing that Google has been repeatedly horrible at is supply chain management and technical support, because they're not a hardware company.
Yeah.
HP is. They've got that entire infrastructure done. They've got, you know, you'll be able to see them. You'll be able to walk into Fry's or Best Buy's and people will have them.
Exactly.
The tech squad guys will know how to use it. And I don't see any reason why, you know, an HP tablet can't sit side by side with a Samsung tablet as something that consumers will sit there and go, oh yeah, I know this company and I feel comfortable about it. Oh, and by the way, this is the cheapest of them all, and it's got all the same, it's got the exact same hardware capabilities. I don't know. It's compelling. It's actually, you know, every once in a while I lean towards wanting to get an Android tablet because I want an Android device and just haven't decided, you know, I want a phone.
Yeah.
I want a phone. But if I were going to, honestly, if it were today and I had to buy an Android tablet, I would seriously check this out, and I would probably get it over the Android because it's cheaper in the same device, the same hardware with the entire supply chain and customer service of HP. I don't know. And I'm not just saying that because you work for HP. You know, I'm
that's true.
That's actually how I feel.
Yeah.
And, I think people, you know, how did HP differentiate themselves in the, and become the top laptop sellers?
Well, so here's the problem with that, right? Is, and this is where you start to have issues where it's like HP could sell a bazillion of these things. They were the number one PC vendor in the world. And, but we don't make any money off of it.
Yeah. You only make $1 billion a year.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, margin percentage wise, it's not fantastic at all.
I realize
2%. You know, so it's like it's an awful lot of effort for not a huge payoff, and so that's going to be the big fear. And then you know, when HP instantly goes to like the low of the low, like oh great, here we go, race to the bottom, woo, we're gonna win. Right. And yeah, I don't know. So, but HP, what I do like about this round is that HP seems to be a little bit more humble than last time. Remember when they came out with like WebOS and they were like, HP sells one PC every 2 seconds and a printer every 2 seconds, and we're going to be the number one plus in the market.
Right.
And I mean, it was just like, geez, can you beat your chest any harder, guys? Okay. You know, and then it was, what was it? 41, 49 days later.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, number one plus. Woohoo.
Yeah. Nice job, guys.
Yeah. So this time around, a little bit more humble, they're like, I mean, he flat out said, if between us and the iPad mini, you're going to choose the iPad mini. We get it. And they're like, we're hoping to film this low end. We're going to bring more to the market. As we learn more, we're stepping into it. And they have said that we recognize that we're the number one PC vendor, but we want to be the number one computer vendor. And we recognize that we are not that right now.
Right.
And, you know, so I thought it was, you know, I thought it was good. In a lot of ways it's saying the same thing, but just the way that it said it, it felt like it was a much more humble approach into it. So I will see. I don't actually know when it's going to come on sale because I didn't look, but my guess is that it's sometime later this year. That's probably something I should know.
Probably.
That'll be whenever it was. They may not have mentioned it either, because I feel like that actually would have been in the articles, but so they're just kind of getting feedback from them. The other last point about this was that they were talking about, once again, that differentiating part. And so this is where HP, like, it kind of feels like they had a hat with like buzzwords, and they were just pulling them out of the hat and then like rearranging them together. And so they were like, you got all the right words, but no.
No.
It doesn't work that way. So they were talking about how there were – how do I want to – I'm wishing I could get this. Oh, so they were talking about the features behind it, and after it gives it price, it then the number one feature on there. So it talks about how – okay, let me just slow down and make sure I find this right. So one of the things it refers to it as is an entertainment solution. Right.
Okay.
And, you know, and they say then like, all right, it's entertainment. It's a solution. Cool, cool, cool. And then like the very first like thing that it can do is you can print with HP ePrint. It says you can effortlessly print photos for easy sharing.
Well, you know.
And they were like, easy sharing, like relative to like email, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Dropbox shared folder. Like even ePrint requires an active internet connection, an HP-built web-enabled printer, and email capability. How is that easy? They're like, and how is this like? And for an entertainment device, that's your number one feature that you're putting on the website. And so they were just kind of like, it's a little weird. And they were even saying that like the Beats Audio, which is, you know, HP's partner with Beats Audio, so like everything is Beats Audio. They're like, that one's even like halfway down the page.
Yeah, like, that's gonna
honestly, that should be like, that should be your number one, or at least above printing.
I'm going to say, you know, to me, like that, like I've said this before. To me, that was one of the biggest selling points on the iPhone was its sound capabilities. You know, it's the best sound quality device out there, in my humble opinion. Which, by the way, Apple, get your stuff together on iTunes. What the heck is going on with that stuff, man? It's glitching out hardcore on me all the time. Like, songs just getting like where you like click on a song to play it, and it'll play some other random song.
iTunes on your PC?
Oh no, on my phone.
Oh,
dude, I exercise iTunes. I could be a beta tester because I'm like always listening to music and messing with it and doing all sorts of like multitasking and doing this and that and, you know, whatever. But downloading songs while listening to other songs and doing, you know, ugh. But this last week I was rather irritated by the performance of iTunes on the iPod or on the iPhone. But that's besides the point.
Well, I do not represent Apple either, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right. But that's, you know, I mean, the thing is that, you know, it's good that they're trying to make an emphasis on the music front, is what I guess I'm trying to say, because I think that's an important aspect of these devices that often gets ignored, you know, and I think that's one of the biggest shortcomings of the Samsung Galaxy S3 is that its audio system is terrible, and it's just not very good sound quality, and that's really disappointing. And so it's, you know, I think that's the sort of thing, if HP, even if they are basically selling that for no profit, if HP can build a piece of hardware that is competitive on pretty much every, it is as good or a little bit better on every, you know, tick you've got, and all it does is run the same software as everything else, and it's $30 less. Why wouldn't you do that? Right. It just doesn't make, you know,
in the store and buy it right then.
Right. And for me, it's like, I'm willing to pay way more for the best phone, but for a tablet, I don't know. I'm a little bit more willing to.
We already got the best tablet. So.
Exactly. Well, but you know, it's, you know, I really like
you can be,
but I didn't buy it. Okay. That's the thing. And I probably wouldn't have if that's the thing, if it were my own money, I would have gotten something cheaper, not because I didn't want an iPad mini. I did, but because I'm cheaper than that. And I think that to me, once you get to a certain level of performance where it performs well, it does all the tasks it needs to do, now let's start talking price. And, you know, I'm not going to buy something that's more expensive just because it's got a, you know, an Apple on it or an HP on it or a Google logo on it, you know, whatever the case may be. You know,
okay, let's be honest. What if it goes over your eyes and on your wrist?
Oh, man.
Anyways, I won't bring that back.
Yeah.
But all right, so there you go. That's the HP Slate. That's their announcement. They made it at the Mobile World Congress. I don't know if I'll ever get to see one, to be totally honest. But I did get to play with the Surface, so I'm slowly catching up to the tablet arena. That was fun. The keyboard is different. I think I could learn how to do it. But
you get to play with the Surface Pro or just the Surface RT?
Oh, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
I don't know, to be honest. Could not tell you. I know that it did dump me onto the... Oh, it had Word. Does that matter?
No.
Okay. I don't know. Honestly. Couldn't tell you.
All right.
But it worked. You know, it seemed to work well. I mean, it wasn't laggy or anything. It, you know, the touch part, that was fun.
Yeah.
Board, there's a learning curve.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, nobody's perfect.